When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
Before we get started with this episode of Bench with Bubba, I wanted to talk to you about RotoBaller.com. Win big in 2022 with RotoBaller.com's MLB and DFS Premium Pass, which includes 15 exclusive lineup tools, daily DFS cheat sheets, and our new Team Sync platform. Use RotoBaller's exclusive hitter projections, pitching planners, DFS value plays, research stations, lineup optimizer, and more to help you win big. For a limited time, get your MLB Premium Pass for an extra 10% off with your discount code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A. Just visit rotoballer.com, use promo code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A for 10% off the Premium Pass for the MLB season, and get started to rotoballing like a boss. And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bat Flip, episode 125. As usual, we'll recap the week in Fab, the week 7 week in Fab part for the NFBC. And got some listener questions, and we'll probably talk desserts and some other cool stuff. We'll leave Little League alone week. We'll leave them alone. But you can follow me on Twitter at BDentric, and my co-host is always on Twitter at BatFlipCrazy. Toby, how we doing, man?
We're doing pretty well, Bubba. You know, just keeping on, keeping on at this point in time. So, yeah, nothing too exciting to report. I've got my Twins hat on today. Couldn't really think of a good reason to put any of the hats on. I mean, I guess Jorge Polanco and Byron Buxton are a good enough reason. So we'll see. Maybe Buxton's on the lineup today, though. So we'll see. Yeah, that's actually kind of interesting. Like they're really managing him. And he had a quote where he said, like, the 100-game thing. Yeah, and you're like, oh, well, it was really cool, like, if you did 100 games at one time and then, like, you were injured, you know, and we could put somebody else in the lineup. But that's kind of a different story. So that'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to monitor that because, yeah, he came out and said things, and then a couple other players on the Twins mentioned it. Like, they fully support the way they're kind of monitoring his knee situation, like, days off and everything. So that's going to be a headache because it's like, you know, you're going to play him, but you got to, like, now you go into it going, okay, can you play 5 games this week, hopefully? Like, that's what you're, like, it's going to be a mess because you're not going to sit Buxton too often. Let's put it that way. And so that'll be very, very interesting to see how that one plays out. But that was a fun quote today, indeed. Plus all the injuries that are going on. So it's been a fun, it's baseball, baby, baseball. But week 7, let's talk some Fab because we had some prospect time and we got some money spent around baseball, and it got kicked off with one George Kirby, and we're doing the onlines as usual. Picked up in 196 leagues. That would be all of them, folks. Max bid of 550, but you know, onlines are great because he went as low as $17 in some leagues. 17 whole dollars.
Somebody got him for $17.
Those are the leagues where, like, people, it's like, I say keep them honest bids. Like, my keep them honest bids are like 120, 122, and I don't do that very often. That was my keep them honest bid. Like, okay, if he falls, I'll take him there. $17 would have blown my mind. I would have been like, okay, sure. So when it comes to Kirby, we know the stuff's electric. He was tearing up the minor leagues. He had an okay start his last time out, but his debut against Tampa Bay was just awesome, and that's what got him picked up. So what's your thoughts on George Kirby? Because, man, with these prospects, like, it's great, but you're already going to have an innings limit. And is, like, how sustainable is it? So many questions. Because, like, we saw Logan Gilbert last year have a roller coaster ride, and he's very, very good too. So what's your thoughts on Kirby?
Yeah, I mean, I liked Kirby a lot. Even before he was brought up, he was kind of a guy that I was eyeing and interested to see when he was going to come up because you know, the results have been incredible in the minor leagues. He has really good control. You know, the highest walk rate he had in the minors, I think, was like 6.4%. And that was just 26 innings. You know, he just, he doesn't, yeah, he throws strikes, which I really like and appreciate. He plays for a decent enough team, and he's supposed to have really good command. So I was interested in that. And also the projections for a rookie are pretty good. You know, yep. The bat has him at 406, 1.24 whip, only 78 strikeouts and 88 innings pitched, but, you know, 14.2% K minus walk rate, which is a lot better than it usually is. My bids were in like the 204, I think was the most I bid. I might've gone to 213 in one league, something like that. Cause I really did like him a lot, but I, for the reasons you mentioned, you know, innings, things can go wrong. The skills have been fine so far. You know, they haven't been overwhelming. It's a little bit different. Like the guy that I spent the most on last year was Shane McClanahan. He was kind of my big bid for the year, and he was in the mid 200s. I think I went for him when he came up. But when he came up and when he pitched, like his stuff plus was just out of this world. I remember Eno writing that it was, you know, it was among, he was already among the league leaders in like stuff plus. It was just, it looked really good. And it was high K type stuff, right? High velo, swinging strike stuff. Kirby strikes me as a guy who's going to like manage games a little bit more, right? He'll go deep into games. Yeah, because he doesn't walk guys. He's not going to strike out like a ton of players, but I think he's going to be overall good. Like, I think he'll be league average or better with the chance for some definite upside there. So he was good. I mean, congratulations to everybody who got him, as long as you didn't pay $555 for him. In places I needed pitching, I obviously went a little bit less in places I didn't get him anywhere. So I'm really interested to see how he does. I think he's a very exciting prospect. And as a pseudo Mariners fan, I'm excited to see what he does.
Yeah, the Mariners doing big boy things. Gilbert was like not great, but not bad in Toronto tonight. He's been good all season. And you can throw Kirby into the mix there with that lights out bullpen. You got J-Rod and company hitting. Like, that's a team that's highly on the rise. And I'm curious to Kirby. And to hear you say your bids made me wonder if I should have bid more, but I guess my philosophy on that, my strategy, I should say. And again, Fabs, there's no exact science. That's the fun of it all. I was around like $600-ish in a lot of my leagues. So I was like, okay, I'll play like 120 to 125. So I still have some kind of money left. We'll see. I didn't get him, so it didn't matter. But it was interesting. So you weren't the only one. A lot of very good players were all in on George Kirby this week. So we'll see how it plays out. We'll see who the next George Kirby is that comes up, because he mentioned like McClanahan last year. Gilbert was in that class last year. There will be a few more, maybe not to that level, but there'll be a few more. So it'll be fun to see how that pans out as well. We have a prospect bat that came up, and that was Alec Thomas of the Arizona Diamondbacks, added in 195 leagues, as high as 355, as low as $10. Again, someone won the unicorn there, $10. He had a home run again on Tuesday night, his second of the season. He's hitting 286. They're trying to play him every day, which looks good. I did acquire him in a few leagues. We'll talk about that on the players we added, and I got him there, kind of keep him honest, but still, like, I was happy. I was very happy about that. So, I like the upside there. And again, on a D-backs team that has no reason not to play him, and they're being competitive right now, which is really good. So I'm a big fan of this Alec Thomas skill set. We'll see if it pans out in the bigs full time, but so far so good.
Yeah, definitely. And he's one of those intriguing profiles where you get a little bit of power, a little bit of speed, and then you got the batting average as well. So there's a few different ways that he can contribute to your team. So far, you know, keeping the strikeout rate down, which is something the projections agree he'll do. The ground ball rate is super high, you know, at 63%. I'm not sure whether that is something that will continue or not, you know, based on his profile, but making a decent amount of contact, you know, decent plate discipline as well, has not tried to steal yet. So it'll be interesting to see whether that speed translates. It's only been 24 plate appearances, 29 if you include today. So very interested to see how it works out for him. I was definitely in on him, but I wasn't overly aggressive. My bids, it was interesting. It's really fascinating how Fab works.
Yes.
Because I had leagues, right? And I can't remember what Thomas went in them. I should go check. But like, let me check really quickly. So I had two leagues where Jonathan VR was available, including a high stakes league. And VR seems to have pretty clear playing time with two injuries to that middle infield. When they come back, you know, maybe there's a question mark there. Let me just see. And I mean, these are really smart players that I'm going against. So it's not really a critique of them. You know, they see some.
It's more how each league's so different. It's just craziness on how it all works out.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, so Alec Thomas went for 235 in that league. Right, to a very smart player. So there's reasons to do that, right? He could be huge. You know, if you look at the Steamer 600 for him, and Steamer's a little high on prospects, you know, a little higher than the other systems on prospects, but he's essentially a 16-17 guy with a 267 batting average, which is fantastic, right? But, I mean, like, I got VR in that league for $34, back up bit of 17. Now, I'm not going to toot my own horn. VR can go a lot of different directions, right? I mean,
Tuesday.
He hit a home run and stole a base today.
Yep.
You know, was whatever, 3-for-something yesterday or 2-for-something yesterday. He's doing well so far, which is within his realm of possibilities. But, you know, like if you were to look at them and you look at the 600 plate appearance projections for them, they're probably pretty similar. VR's is probably better, honestly, because the steals are going to be much higher. And so, you know, there's kind of like the unknown, which comes with it, like the ceiling and all of that stuff with Alec Thomas. But, you know, I guess my strategy is like, okay, you know, with VR, like I feel like I can get maybe 4 weeks of, maybe I'll get lucky and get really strong production. Maybe I'll get unlucky and get really bad production, which we've seen too. But it's just interesting, like how the projections are fairly similar with those guys, but the bids are pretty different. And I think there's some reason for that, right? Again, because you don't get a lot of guys like Thomas who can kind of come in, have that speed, power, and batting average, and the unknown of maybe this guy is going to be one of those rookies who just, you know, puts up a half season of just ridiculous stuff. And he's got playing time, so.
He's got playing time. He's got the ability. He's got the ceiling, like the ungodly numbers. He's also got a floor, a very deep floor. Like, so that's the fun thing about prospects. Like, you're talking about the weirdness of Fab. Like, we talked about Royce Lewis last week in a big way. When I was doing Fab this week, he was available in a couple leagues still. Like, he wasn't even.
Really?
I was blown away. I was like, what in the world? Like, wow. I was literally just, I didn't even type in to search for him because I thought there was no chance. And I'm just like scrolling through just to make sure I didn't miss any names. And there's Royce Lewis. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? So I had to add him into the mix. Like, I'm not going to. You got him for $1 last week, $1. Like, that's just crazy stuff. But the fun other thing, like we talked about, that's why I like talking about these different players and kind of like you're talking about the VR versus Thomas thing. And that's irrelevant for this week thing. But it's like we talk about not breaking the banks at time because, you know, everyone was all in on Stephen Kwan, spent a lot of money on Stephen Kwan. And now you could have spent a lot less because we're like, sure, you know, Alec Thomas, when he's talking about as high as 355, as low as 10, the leagues I got him in was like $47. So, and that was a couple leagues, like we'll talk about them. So it's one of those things like why we try not to break the bank often, because there will be other options as the season goes on. It might not be a prospect like Thomas. It could be the Jonathan VR, a veteran that gets his time, but there's going to be options to fill the stat needs that your team needs that you're going to want that money for to make sure like Toby can win 34-17 bids. He's not forced to bid 15 and lose, like stuff like that where it translates differently. So that's kind of why it might be boring to some as we talk about, but that's why we kind of the strategy we have. You want to be able to keep playing as the season goes on instead of be kind of handcuffed as well. All right. Next on the docket, Kyle Bradish of the Baltimore Orioles, 131 leagues, as high as 121, as low as $1. I got him in a few leagues the week before. His start against the Yankees, not good. Not good. 4 1/3 for him, but still got the 6 Ks. That's what I like to see after the 11 Ks against St. Louis, his previous start. He's going to be rocky. There's no sugarcoating that. Like, that's why I think the 11 Ks was not going to happen probably ever again. But he's a good pitcher. I don't know how great he's going to be. And facing the Yankees, there was going to be a recipe for disaster eventually. So what's your thoughts on Bradish? He's going to be serviceable, but it's like him, Zimmerman, you got these guys where it's they might not be full-time serviceable, might be more streamable type stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't mind Bradish at all. He was among the higher pitchers that I was bidding on. Where he was available in leagues, you know, he did have that rocky start, but mean, the Yankees is tough. That was Monday, so he had a two start, so that's why people were going. But I think his second start is pretty bad too, wasn't it?
I don't think it's a good deal.
I remember looking at him and being like, I would pick him up, but I don't think I would actually start him this week. What is it? Oh, it's not bad. It's Tampa. I mean, there's better options.
Yeah, that's hit and miss.
But you probably throw that out there. Yeah, so I think the things about Bradish, you know, the metrics are pretty good. They're like, you know, round league average, but slightly better maybe. You know, O swing at 31%, slightly better than league average. Z contact at 86.7. He's not overpowering, I don't think, with his fastball, so it's not necessarily surprising. You know, but 18.4% K minus walk, 25.3% strikeout rate, 6.9% walk rate, 10.8% swinging strike. So all like pretty good. You know, he's been unlucky, 352 BABIP. He's got a 1.7 home runs, you know, per nine. He hasn't been walking guys, which has been really nice. You know, although with the O swing, and he's getting behind on hitters, which is a little bit dangerous. He has a sub 50% first pitch strike. But, you know, we didn't know that heading into Fab. And he looked pretty good when I was looking under the hood at him, you know, and he's one of those guys where he doesn't have like the huge pedigree like Kirby, so that he's not going to go for these huge amounts, or he maybe even be picked up initially. But sometimes those are the guys that, you know, they're pitching much better than they had been previously. When I look at his pitch skills, it's a little concerning because he pretty much just has one pitch. He's got the slider, which is nasty. 18.6% swinging strike rate, 46.6 O swing, and his Z contact at 82.8%. Every single one of his other pitches has an O swing under 18.5%. So no chasing at all. And a swinging strike rate under 7.4%. And I don't know if that's going to cut it long term. He's also played the Yankees, Cardinals, Minnesota, and Boston. So he's had, two tough matchups, I would say. The one dominant performance. I would expect that maybe the performance against St. Louis ends up being his best performance of the year. And we see a lot more of kind of what we've seen the other games, which is like six innings, two earned runs, two strikeouts, four innings, three strikeouts, four earned runs, you know, 4.1, four earned runs, six strikeouts, you know, just kind of like messy. So that's what I'd say. It's a long-winded way of saying it's messy.
Yeah, and that's why I said he reminds me like the Zimmerman we talked about, where there's a lot we like, but there's also kind of like there's room for a bunch of uh-ohs, like with the situation if he's not locating that slider for Bradish. Like I said, the fastball's not overwhelming, so it's just kind of going to be a – if he has to groove that thing, then he's in trouble, and that's going to make it nasty. So maybe the ballpark will help him now in Baltimore, so that's good. And so he'll have some really good starts, but there's going to be some hiccups out there. So we'll see how that Tampa Bay start goes this weekend. Might be back on the wire after this week. We'll have to wait and see.
And one thing I've been factoring more and more into pitcher decisions too is just thinking about like upside versus downsides. And with him, it's like he's also on the Orioles. Yeah. So the wins aren't necessarily going to come.
Bingo.
Right? So what are we trying to get out of Bradish?
Yeah.
Are we hoping for improved ratios? Are we hoping for the Ks? Are we hoping to catch lightning in the bottle? And then you think about all the ways it can go wrong. So, yeah.
No, I'm with you. Next up on the list, our boy Danny Jansen picked up in 122 leagues as high as 169, as low as a dollar. Jansen's had three games back from the IL, got a home run, two hits. He's picking up where he left off because he was mashing before he got hurt in the three games before that. We saw him towards the end of last season start to hit again. Like, good things are coming. We were Team Jansen for a while there in years past, and he just really never put it together, and there was always Alejandro Kirk concerns, but Jansen's the better defender, and as long as he swings, he's going to get to play. So I didn't grab him anywhere because I was like set in my catcher position for now, but he's definitely an option if you need him because catcher's a mess, an absolute disaster right now. So Jansen could be a nice little fill-in for you.
Yeah, for sure. I love Danny Jansen. I have him in a number of teams. I had a couple teams where I just blanked on the catcher position while he was out. So yeah, if you had access to him, I would have gone and gotten him. Rest of season season projection for the Bad X, 242, 14 home runs, 40 and 40. So if that comes to fruition, then you're looking at like probably 244, 245 batting average, 17 home runs, 44 and 44. I mean, not the best in the world, maybe, but certainly not the worst, especially with the way that catcher is playing out this year.
Yep, most definitely. I think there's definitely some appeal in that one. You say, I say, we all say Kikuchi. 97 leagues, as high as 89, as low as a dollar, and he has ditched the cutter, folks, and because it was ugly to start the year. And then even a report on Tuesday talked about how he saw what Robbie Ray did. That's one reason why he wanted to come to Toronto, to have someone to work with him. The last three starts, including his recent start on Monday, he ditched the cutter. He's gone at least five innings, two runs or less, six or more Ks, two wins in those three starts. He's looked like a brand new man out there on the mound. He's looked really good. How sustainable it is, we'll see. But as long as he just leaves that pitch that was getting shelled, there's at least something to look at there, a nice pitch mix change. But he had a two-start week this week. Like I said, the first start against Seattle, he did very, very well. So he was a popular pickup this week, and he might be one of those guys where you can maybe hold on to him a little longer. So what's your thoughts on Yusei Kikuchi?
Yeah, I picked him up in an OC where he was available. He also has a beautiful two-start week. I mean, you can't get much better than at home against Seattle and Cincinnati. That's pretty legit right there. Yeah, in his last three games, I mean, I think you mentioned the pitch mix change. I think it's instructive in this type of a situation to just look at the last three games just to see what's going on. You know, 80% Z contact, which is great. I mean, it's unbelievable what the graph looks like. I mean, his walk rate and K rate earlier in the season were identical, and then they just split beautifully. 31.3% K rate over his last three, 10.9% walk rate. So he's still walking, guys. That'll always be an issue because he cannot seem to find a pitch that get chases on pitches on outside the zone. So he's at 29.3% O swing. So he's really got to be in that zone to be effective. He's also got a 12.8% swinging strike rate over that period, which is really good. You mentioned he's throwing the fastball. The velocity isn't up, you know, so it's got to be just that pitch mix change that you mentioned. He's thrown 56%. And let me just
I think it was like almost like a 30% cutter usage, 20 to 30%. He has ditched the whole thing. And so he started throwing more off speeds, it felt like. And yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do is what I'm trying to do here. Let's just do a little luck-o-meter. A luck-o-meter check here.
You're doing the full count check?
Yeah. So his BABIP, his BABIP over the last three games is 139, which will help you for sure. And his home runs per nine is down at 0.5. Let's check the home run per fly ball. I do this. His home run per fly ball is 6.7%. So yes, he's been better. Has he been lucky in doing it? Absolutely. When we look at that four seam fastball, he's throwing more, gets no chases on pitches outside the zone. He does have a really nice Z contact on it. 79.2%, 9.9% swinging strike rate as well. So, and then that cutter that you mentioned was, it must've just been getting destroyed. 249 WRC plus against.
Look at the, like the, even the X stats, like there was no room for like luck. He was just getting crushed all over the place with that pitch.
It's really interesting. I mean, if you look at like just the outcomes against his pitches, his four seam, he has a 33 WRC plus. His slider has a 199 WRC plus. His changeup has been a really good pitch for him. Negative 47. So, you know, that changeup is actually interesting. The slider does get chases on pitches outside the zone. I mean, essentially what I'm just trying to articulate is there's some stuff going on. I don't think it's beautiful. I think it's got potential, but I do think that something's going to need to get better for it to be sustainably quality for him. He's not going to keep getting a 139 BABIP and a 6.7% home run per fly ball.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see what he does, because I just like the fact that after three starts of like bad starts, he changed it already to that. And he admitted that he likes what he saw with what they did with Ray, and that's why he wanted to come here. So he's letting them tinker with him. And so you have to imagine they have to be seeing something that you're seeing also, so they might keep tinkering And it's more, it's like the Robbie Ray pounded with the fastball, even though Ray threw it harder. Like, I know that. Pound with the fastball, use the changeup, then throw the slider out of the zone to get chased. Like, don't let him hit the slider. Like, make the slider not even come near the zone. Because when it does, you get hit. Simple. So we'll see how that continually changes. Like, I would love to see a graph, and I know we can look later or something, since the pitch mix changed 3 starts ago. We know what the slider usage and everything is. I want to see the slider locations for just those 3 games. Like, were they all, like, down and away? Or something, like, were they all just literally, like, come get it type stuff? That's the intriguing part to me, is where was he locating that pitch, like, before and after type situation with the slider? Because that could be very important.
Yeah, we can check that out. I'll look it up while we're talking about the next guy.
All right. Brandon Drury added in 89 leagues, as high as 161, as low as a dollar. He should have been added the week before. People wanted him this week because of the stats he had the week before, but the week before he had 8 games. So that's why you should have added Brandon Drury. He had 5 games this week. Still, he's going to be serviceable, like we talked about Jonathan India out for a while and other situations. There's some power there. Average has always been a bit of an issue. Doesn't run a ton. But I guess ride it while you can. You got Great American Small Park. It's just this week it was 2 games early, 3 games later in the week, and there was other options I was more intrigued with. But I get it. Brandon Drury's got, and he's got multi-position flexibility, which is huge. So you got that going for you too. But I think we talked about him last week. We got any more thoughts on him?
Not really. Brett Lowry was the answer to the trivia question last week. Thank you to everybody who texted and DM'd and reached out to us. It was Brett Lowry I was thinking about. His year actually wasn't all that good. Like, I mean, he definitely had a good year. I think in 197 plate appearances as a rookie, he had like 9 home runs and 7 steals, which is big. That's huge. But it's not like he contributed that across the full season. Yeah. Brandon Drury, I like. Picked him up last week or a couple weeks ago. And I think he's very solid, and he's one of the better hitters on the Reds. So I think he'll have a shot.
Most definitely. Next up, Rowan Wick of the Chicago Cubs, added in 77 leagues, as high as 115, as low as a dollar. People chasing those saves. He's got 3 saves in his last 3 opportunities as he fills in for Dave Robertson. He's been on the COVID IL for a while. Like, he's been out. He's got it. Some pretty good symptoms, it sounds like. We'll see when he comes back. I haven't heard any info on when he's coming back, but he's been out for a couple weeks now. So definitely something to monitor, it feels like. And Wick's come in, and you know, this is the frustrating part, because when the injury happened to Hoyer earlier in spring, I was drafting Wick everywhere, and I was told that I was an idiot, and so I dropped him because obviously he wasn't. Well, Robertson's a closer; you had to drop him. But this is like, here he is. He's getting strikeouts. He's shutting guys down. He's picking up saves. This is very frustrating, Toby. Very frustrating. So Rowan Wick, who literally could not be the closer tomorrow if David Robertson comes back.
Yeah. It all depends on the bid. I mean, he looks like he's got it. He looks like he's running with it. He is walking a considerable amount of people. He's also striking out a decent amount of people. There's not a lot to love necessarily about the profile, except for the ERA and the strikeouts. You know, the WHIP is high. He's got a high BABIP, but he's also got a high strand rate. You know, he's walking 4 per 9. His Z contact is 90.1%, so he can't really beat people in the zone right now. So, but I mean, he's also clearly getting saves there until Robertson comes back, and it's not like Robertson is like the bill of health.
Yeah.
You know, even though I think he's COVID IL right now, like, he's, you know, could have just as well get something else wrong with him. So yeah, Wick is fine. Yusei Kikuchi, his slider location is like right down the middle of the plate, actually. It's interesting. Yeah,
that's not ideal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like he's throwing it to lefties, so, you know, maybe they're not getting a good read on it or whatever.
Interesting.
Or maybe that's why they're not missing it.
Yeah, that could be it. That would make a lot of sense, at least. Next up here, Ian Kennedy added in 70 leagues, as high as 75, as low as 1. Again, this is a closer speculation because, like, Kennedy had the job and Melanson was on the IL. He came back. Melanson last week, 2 saves and 2 brutal blown saves. Like, it was horrific, and not 1 strikeout in any 4 of those outings for Mark Melanson. So he's not even getting guys to strike out. Ian Kennedy is waiting in the wings to get his shot. People speculated on him this week. Not sure why you would speculate $75, but maybe you're really desperate there. But it's similar to the Wick situation, except Wick at least has the job right now, where Kennedy's just waiting like another blown save or two to walk on in.
I think I was in a league where Kennedy went for like 200.
Wow.
Yeah, Kennedy sucks. He sucks. You think Melanson's bad? Like, Kennedy sucks. I'd be going with like, I think Mantiply is pretty good. I mean, here's Ian Kennedy's line, right? 3.45 ERA, yay. 4.38 xFIP, whatever, or FIP, doesn't matter. Whip, 1.53, boo. Strikeouts, 10 in 15 and a two-thirds, boo. Saves, 3, yay. BABIP, 2.75, whatever. Strand rate, 75.2%, whatever. K's per 9, 5.74. Walks per 9, 5.17. So his walks are almost equal to his K per 9. His K minus walk is 1.4%. He's also got 0.57 home runs per 9 with a career 1.29. And then the last 5 years, 1.92, 4.5, 0.85, 1.5, 1.99, 1.52, 1.66. I mean, the guy's going to give up a ton of home runs, especially when the heat increases, and he sucks. Swinging strike rate, 4.9%. In-zone contact rate, 93.7%. I mean, he's Stephen Kwan inside the zone. You know,
I love it.
34.6%. Pitcher or hitter?
Pitcher or hitter.
Is the really good hitter or really bad pitcher? This is a really bad pitcher, ladies and gentlemen, which is not to say you shouldn't speculate on him. Crazier things have happened, right? Yep. I was on this podcast talking about Jorge Lopez and how his K-minus walk rate sucked and whatever, and he ended up being great. I just don't see necessarily how Kennedy is going to I just don't see him being able to do it. I don't see him being able to put together a run similar to what he did last year, but I'm also been known to be incredibly wrong on these things.
I'm not going to say Toby's wrong. I'm not disagreeing with him on this. If I have to have any shining light on this, the D-backs are competitive right now, so he'll get chances. That's the one thing I'll say is they're actually competitive. It's not the Pirates or something like that. So Ian Kennedy will get, and he's had stretches with the Royals where they're very good. He also went to Philadelphia last year and played home run derby. So that's the fun with Ian Kennedy.
Yeah. I mean, later on, Ben Tidd asked us a question about closer specs. I mean, just thinking about the same bullpen, Joe Mantiply, who is, no, he throws right. Well, I thought he threw left. Wait, no, he throws left. He throws left. He bats right. Just in case you're interested in that. He's got a 0.66 ERA, 11 strikeouts and 13 and two thirds. So not great there. He's got 2 saves. BABIP is low at 243, way below his career average. And his strand rate is high, but he's walking 2% of batters. His K minus walk is 20.4%. Swinging strike rate is 12.7%. He's getting ahead of hitters. He's got a 44% O swing. And he's got an 84.9% Z contact. So he's not that great, but he's loads better than Kennedy. And so, you know, I think Kennedy probably will get the saves initially until he inevitably blows it. But I think Mantiply is kind of an interesting little guy there. Nice. Not to imply that he's little. I'm sure he's kind of a big guy.
He's not the opposite of Stevenson. We know that much.
Let's see. He's 6'4", 219.
Yeah, that's not little.
That's a big guy. He's no Dalton Varsho.
No, Dalton Varsho's a little guy. Dalton Varsho definitely, and Dalton Varsho might catch from Matt to play. So go put that one
together. For sure. Oh man, look at that battery. That's
yep. That is literally the negative and positive charge.
Some Bubba and the bat flip level.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Exactly. Talking about big guys, Luke Voit added in 68 leagues, as high as 120, as low as 3. You know, he returned from the IL, 2 home runs, a second game. Then he's been back to being Luke Voit. This is why I'm just always scared about Luke Voit. He strikes out a ton. His batting average, he's not going to start every day in San Diego. I know people were excited for the upside with Voit. I couldn't do it. So I wasn't even in on him.
Yeah, I wasn't in on him either. I didn't know that he was going to come off the IL. But I mean, he's definitely, you know, interesting if he's there. You know, 236, 13 home runs, 36 runs, 40 RBI, 236 batting average. Yeah, I mean, it's fine. He's looked lost, though, and he's said that he's lost. So, yeah.
Less than ideal is the way I would look at that one. Got some more speculations going on here. Clay Holmes of the New York Yankees, who's been very good out of the bullpen, very good. So has King as well. People like to forget about King, who's been very effective as well. But Clay Holmes was added in 67 leagues, as high as 47, as low as a dollar. We had another Aroldis Chapman Messi game on Tuesday night. I hate to break it to people. Chapman's closing as long as he's healthy. this is what they do. He has hiccups. Even the beat reporters tonight said he does this like twice a year where he has bad stretches. Then he still ends up with 30 plus saves. His ratios are okay. Gets a ton of strikeouts. This is what Chapman does. So Holmes might get his chances, but I don't know. What's your thoughts? I think there was better places to speculate. Now, Chapman got hurt. We could talk. But as long as Chapman's healthy, yeah, he's closing.
Yeah, I think what tends to happen with these things is like last week, Holmes probably got a save, you know? And so people are kind of like, oh, well, maybe he's, you know, in the running for it. I don't think he's in the running for it. I think he's a very good pitcher, a very, very good pitcher. I have him in a few DCs. I don't know if I have him in any fab. I think in deeper leagues, like 15-team leagues, totally reasonable to add him. You know, he's a ratio boon. I do think, though, in like 12-team leagues, it's a little bit harder to do that. But my God, got a 3% ground ball rate right now.
Oh, he's filthy. He's filthy.
Ground ball rate. Yeah. It's unreal. Yeah.
So,
yeah. So, I mean, I think it's good. Yeah. I think it's good.
Would you rather have Holmes or Ian Kennedy?
Holmes.
Kennedy might get the job. Okay. Want to ask. Just want to throw it out there. All right. Next up.
I mean, it's a good question, though, too, because it's like, how long would I hold on to, you know, Holmes? How many times would I like look at him and be like, no,
how many times did you actually rock? How many times did you actually start him in a week when you had Holmes versus like another like questionable starting pitcher? Like most times you might still go to the starting pitcher just for the chance of the win. Like it's such a weird, that's why it's hard to roster him, especially in 12 teamers. Like, yeah, like I have Paul Sewald in some leagues and I've used him like 50% of the time and it's been pretty good, but we know what Sewald does. Like Holmes isn't even that level yet. So it's tricky to roster those guys in smaller leagues. That was something to keep in mind. Chase Silseth was the new popular name out there these days. Picked up in 63 leagues as high as 132, as low as a dollar. Might be even more popular next week. But over the weekend, 6 shutout innings of one hit, 4 Ks against the Oakland Athletics. Big accomplishment there. But
he's got him again this week.
He's got him again this week. And Eno Saris's metrics loved him. So, like, there was buzz all over the place on Sunday on Twitter. What's your thoughts on Silseth? To be honest, I didn't know who he was until I saw Twitter on Sunday.
Yeah, I got him a couple places for like mid-30s, low-40s, I think. Yeah, I mean, if you think about, we talked about George Kirby's projections. So if you look at the bat projections for Kirby, I think he was like a 4.0-something ERA, a 1.24 whip, with 78 strikeouts in 88 innings or something like that, 87 innings. Silseth's is in 54 innings, a 4.22 ERA, a 1.27 whip with 50 strikeouts in 54 innings. So essentially like a nearly identical projection as Kirby, but going for a lot less on a better offense. Not necessarily a great defense, I don't think, although I'm not totally sure how good the Angels defense is, but
Joe Adell's,
and I knew he was going to go for a lot less. So he was kind of definitely on the radar. Dylan White, who's also a very smart guy. He does, for Prospects Live. I'm in a dynasty league with him and he has his, like Robo Scout, I think he calls it, which likes him a lot. I think Silseth has been really good this year. Like he maybe didn't have as much pedigree previously, but has been really good this year. And so it seemed like a pretty good fit. So that's the type of thing I think I like. I prefer to go more on is like getting the backup to the big bid or like 100%. backup to the big bid. Because the projections are fairly similar. And so, will they end up the same? I don't know. I'd rather have Kirby, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out, especially if he dominates Oakland again this week. Like I said, he's only added in 65 leagues, so it could be a like barrage on Sunday. Like he's probably added in like all the mains, but when it comes to the onlines, that's over 100 online leagues where he's going to be out and about. So that's going to be interesting come Sunday. Lamont Wade Jr. added in 64 leagues, as high as 87, as low as a dollar. I know he was added in recent weeks as he was getting closer to returning. I added him a couple leagues. He's got Coors this week, but he didn't play on Tuesday because he's day-to-day again. He's still banged up. He's playing through his injury, which is outstanding. But I like Lamont Wade. I got no problem with Lamont Wade. I think he's a good pickup, especially with Coors on play. But yeah, it's one of the, it's a tough one. Like first base outfield eligibility is big with him. But I get the pickup this week for Coors.
Yeah, for sure. I can get it. I think the challenge with guys like Wade, I'd much rather pick him up on the waiver wire for less than like spend draft capital on him because he's going to be part of a platoon, you know? And so it's just like Jock Peterson. It's like when he's running hot, it seems really, really great. But when he cools down, you're like, oh, he's playing in 2 of 4 this week or 2 of 3 this weekend. Do I want to do the 2 of 3 or like even in Coors this week, it's like, you know, Wade's going to have 2 games in Coors. And it's like, well, 2 games in Coors might be worth it. But in any other ballpark, it's probably not. And so I just find those guys really challenging to have in there unless they're supremely skilled.
Yep. No, it's tricky. It's very tricky, especially now that they're getting healthy again. Like Yaz is back. LaStella came back. Longo's back. All the dudes, they're coming back. So it's even – platoons are getting crazier. And we'll see what even Wednesday brings because it's Freeland, the lefty's pitching. So we'll see what the lineup looks like because Kapler loves running like an all-righty lineup. So that'll be another angle. So it's annoying about the Giants. Plus, to make it even better, and Wade plays good defense, so he's kind of been okay through this. But all it takes is a righty starting, then a lefty reliever coming in, and they just bench everybody. They just pinch it for everybody. And it just makes it very, very annoying to roster some of these guys. All right, we'll do a couple more here before we get to our ads of the week. We'll go Gavin Sheets, who you added everywhere last week. He was definitely in play again this week as the White Sox had 8 more games, 7 versus right-handed pitchers, added in 63 leagues, as high as 51, as low as a dollar. But you already had him everywhere last week, so you're good to go.
I think I only had him in 1 or 2 leagues. So I wish I did. I wish I had him everywhere. But I was glad that I already had him because, 7 games in 8 days against righties, including the Royals for 5 games.
That's big.
Or four big games. Big. 4 games sounds ideal. So,
yes.
So nothing to show for it yet, but we still got a couple more games. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, most definitely. Last one we'll go with here. Excuse me. I got to go back to my page here. Okay. We have Jonah Heim. Jonah Heim added in 60 leagues as high as 77, as low as a dollar. With the injury to Mitch Garver, Jonah Heim has kind of taken over the reins there as a starting catcher. And so far, so good, hitting 277 on the year with 4 home runs. He's walking a decent clip, too, barely striking out less than 11% of the time. He's shown really good plate skills for a catcher with decent batting average upside and a little bit of pop. So this is where it gets fun, because like we talked about Danny Jansen earlier, honestly, I'd rather roll with Jonah Heim in that scenario for a lot cheaper. But both good players. So what's your thoughts on Jonah Heim?
Yeah, I actually dropped Jonah Heim in TGFBI, I think, because Danny Jansen's back, which I thought about a little bit. I mean, Jonah Heim's fine. He's fine. I mean, the thing is, early season, like, you know, I like to look at it, it's like he's had 4 barrels and he's got 4 home runs.
That's called so, running good, folks.
You know, if he were to run league average, the next 4 barrels would not be home runs that he hits. And if he does that over the next 74 plate appearances, then you're looking at 4 home runs in 148 plate appearances, which isn't as good. So again, the plate skills are really nice. He's got potential, but I think we've seen one of the better runs that he's going to have this year already. And I don't think it's likely to continue.
We don't have to talk about all these guys. I just wanted to bring it up to people that why OCs are so much fun. Reed Detmers was added in 58 leagues because he was out there coming off that no-no as high as 177. Royce Lewis was available in 53 leagues, Toby. 53 online leagues.
Wow.
Added as high as 267. So that one stood out. Hunter Green got added for a big chunk. But Felix Bautista, the potential closer in waiting in Baltimore, added in 33 leagues as high as 157. Jorge Lopez is still technically there, folks. I hate to break it to you. And then Danny Jimenez from Oakland as high as 212. That makes a little more sense to me than Batista. Both good pitchers, but those got some heavy ads. Josh Naylor got picked up for 157 max bid. So I just want to talk about some of the max guys that got picked up. Emilio Pagan as high as 155. People looking for saves. That was an interesting one. So those were a few of them. There's many more, but anything on those guys that stood out to you potentially?
Not really. I mean, Reed Detmers isn't very good.
He's not.
I'm like, I look thing and I'm just like, I mean, congrats on the no-no, but I don't know how long you're going to be in the big leagues doing what you're doing so far. I mean, the projections are still holding on a little bit for hope, but not a ton there. And especially after today, it's probably much worse as well. Yeah, because he only made it like 3 1/3. Yeah, I think Detmers is kind of a drop in 15 teamers, honestly. At this point, I just don't know if there's anything there. Yeah, Royce Lewis, I mean, he's great. He just hit a home run earlier today as well. Unfortunately, he hit it off of Josh Winders or Winders. Winders.
They're on the same team. It's not possible.
No, you're right. Right. Kevin Smith hit the home run.
I was about to say, it's not possible.
It would have been nuts. It would have been crazy, Bubba.
I think they were doing interesting.
Winders throws it. Lewis is in it short, but then he runs to the plate and he picks up the bat and he hits the home run and everybody's confused. And that was the end of Royce Lewis's career when he hit the home run off his own
bat, flipped his own pitcher.
It would have been great. It was really hard for people to trust him ever again. Yeah,
love it. Oh man, so, yeah, no, it's just fun. Like, they're not the big ads, but some of the big dollar ads that are sitting down there, and people specking on closers all over the place, so it makes it very exciting. But let's recap our fab pickups of the week. Toby, if you're ready, you can rock and roll and tell us what you did this week.
Sorry, just seeing how the Angels are blowing another Iglesias save op. All right. My fabbing from this past week is actually a pretty busy week for me. Chase Silseth dropped Ryan Brazier, the evil Ryan Brazier, $49, backup bid of 34. Added Jonathan VR, dropped Jed Lowry, bid of $34, runner up of 17. Added Eli White. Dropped Mitch Keller, good riddance Mitch Keller, seven with a backup bid of 2. That Eli White pickup was exclusively for a Noah Syndergaard matchup, and he came through with
he ran steal. Wild, folks, ran wild.
Yeah, he did. All right, next league, added Jeffrey Springs. It was a Jeffrey Springs overpay week, and I didn't give a crap because I wanted Jeffrey Springs.
Why did you want Jeffrey Springs? Dropped Ryan. Out of curiosity.
Oh, man. I love Jeffrey Springs. We'll talk about it in a second. Or do you want me to talk about it right now?
Yeah, whatever you want. Right, I figure we got time with only one listener question, so I'm curious on your thoughts on Jeffrey.
That's all right. Hey, you know, Jeffrey Springs. What can I say? 21.2 innings. 20 strikeouts, 1.66 ERA, 0.78 whip. Low BABIP, high strand rate, got to be careful of that. 8.3231 Ks per nine, 1.25 walks per nine, 0.42 home runs per nine. K minus walk rate, 21.5%, 25.3% K rate, 3.8% walk rate. Swinging strike rate, 14.6%. Love that. O swing, 45.3%. Love that. In zone contact, 77.9%. Love that. Now he is going from relief to a starter, but in his kind of like, so he went 2.2 and then 3.1 and then 4 and then 4.2. Since his 3.1 or even since his 2.2, I mean, since he started pitching multiple innings, he's got two innings, two Ks, zero earned runs, 2.2 innings, 3 Ks, one earned run, 3.1 innings, 2 Ks, zero runs, 4 innings pitched, 4 strikeouts, 3 earned runs, 4.2 innings, 0 earned runs, 2 Ks. So the Ks have not been that high, but he's on the Rays. He's going to get great defense. He keeps on moving up a little bit. I think he threw 75 pitches this last game. I was really excited, actually, that he did not throw 5 so that it kept the bids lower because he would have gotten the win otherwise. But he's pitched against 2 really good teams in Toronto and the Angels. This week he's got Baltimore, and then I think he's got the Yankees, but he may also have Detroit. Let me just check it out. He's got at Baltimore, Yeah, he's got Baltimore and then he's got the Yankees. So next week, not great, but Baltimore this week, I'll take it. So yeah, I really like him a lot. Okay, I've liked him. I had him on DC's last year. I really like him. So
nice.
Yeah. So anyways, that was a long extended ode to Jeffrey Springs, but Andrew Velasquez, I picked up. I dropped Christian Pache, 14 with a backup of 2. I added Nick Solak a lot of places as well. He had played in 5 of 6. And of course he sat against Syndergaard, but oh well, I was too preoccupied to notice and swap him out or didn't have other options in leagues. Nick Solak, Jed Lowry, dropped him, added Anthony Bass, closer spec, $6, dropped Mitch Keller. I'll probably move on from Anthony Bass since it doesn't look like it's his gig after the past couple days. Added Jeffrey Springs, dropped Ryan Brazier, 40 bit of 43, backup of 17, added Chase Silseth, dropped Paul DeJong, $36, 29 backup. Added Andrew Velasquez, $12, no backup bid. So Velasquez, I mean, he should have 2 months straight run at that shortstop position.
With Fletcher,
batting average isn't great, but he is stealing quite a few bases.
And he did it in the minors,
places
too.
Where I needed that. Yeah.
Yep.
Added Brandon Drury. Oh, that was last week. Added Jeffrey Springs, dropped Ryan Brazier, 47 with a backup of 13. Added Andrew Velasquez, $12, backup of 9, dropped Ben Gamel, added Nick Solak, dropped Jed Lowry for 7, uncontested bid. In my OC, I added Yusei Kikuchi, dropped Ryan Brazier, $7, a backup of 4, and then I added OC. Pavin Smith and his eight games this week, and dropped Jonathan Scope, who promptly hit a home run on Monday. So I was a little disappointed about that. TGFBI added Jonathan VR, dropped Jonah Heim, 32 with a backup of 18. Added Jeffrey Springs, dropped Josh Stalmont, who got a save today. Springs, $14, $9 backup bid. Added Luis Gonzalez before
he was demoted
for being the best hitter on the Giants over the last little bit.
Yeah. Everybody got healthy.
And then the final one is the one that we share together. Barf League added Jeffrey Springs, $23, backup of 9, dropped Chad Pinder, added Gavin Sheets, $14, backup of 13. Please tell me that was your bid. Dropped Ben Gamel, added Lurie Garcia and his eight games, dropped Abraham Toro, and then added Andrew Velasquez, dropped Yoshitsu Tsugo.
I'm glad to see you're all in on Velasquez, because I actually dug in on him a bit for a part of an article for Fantrax on Wednesday, and I was like, I was impressed, because like you said, the batting average is not great right now, but he got one homer and he's stealing bases like crazy. And you look at his minor numbers, not a power guy, but 20 to 30 steals almost every season, and he actually hit for average in the minors too. So there's like potential to maybe hit up to like 240, 250 and steal a lot of bags. So that's an interesting, especially 15 teamers. That could be a really, really fun pickup right there. All right. For mine, and I wasn't nearly as active this week, but in one of my OCs, I went and added Kyle Hendricks, dropped Sheldon Noisy for $6 with no runner-up bid. So I said, for $6, I'll give Kyle Hendricks a try. Basically, I got outbid everywhere else. And in that OC, Kirby went for $3.55. Things changed. Mm-hmm. I mean, Alec Thomas. Alec Thomas went for – let me get sure I got that right. Yeah, Alec Thomas went for $3.55. Kirby went for $2.33 in that league. But in my other OC – one of my other OCs, we had 4. I got Alec Thomas for $68, runner up of 42, dropping Chad Pinder. I got Royce Lewis for $24, runner up of 17, dropped Kyle Gibson. So I got Royce Lewis and Alec Thomas for less than $100 combined. Pretty happy about that. We'll see how it plays out, but I liked the feel of that one. Another league, Jordan Hicks, added him, dropped Cal Quantrill, $7, no runner up. Grabbed Kyle Hendricks, dropped Aaron Hicks, $6, no runner up. Another OC added Alec Thomas for 67, runner up at 55, dropped Hansel Robles, and he just got another save, so that was fun. Added Kyle Bradish for 21, runner up of 15, and I added Felix Bautista, who we talked about earlier, for he broke the bank. I added him for 16, no runner up bid in my league, and I dropped Ian Kennedy for that one. OC qualifier here, the fun leagues. I got Nick Pivetta for 7 with no runner-up, Kyle Hendricks for 6 with no runner-up, and Lamont Wade for 4 with a runner-up of 4, so the unicorn bid. But again, didn't break the bank for that one, so it doesn't hurt me as much. Nothing in that league. Didn't win at all. My final OC, I got Felix Bautista for $7 with a runner-up of 0, and I dropped Tyler Wells, who he run like that whole Orioles starting rotation are going to be headaches this year. Lots of good, lots of bad. Barf got Evan Longoria for 12, dropped Edward O for runner-up of 5. I grabbed Alfonso Rivas, who's been playing a ton for the Cubs, and they had a big, big schedule on tap this week. Got him for $4 with a runner-up of 0, dropped Raimel Tapia. That's the pure spec type thing. I think that's going to be it for me. Like the rest of my leagues, I really don't think I won much. Just let me scroll this last one real quick. Yep, that'll do it. So those were my fab bids of the week. Not too much. We got a question in the chat, though, from James D. Is MJ Melendez the ad with Sal Perez on IR 100%? I wanted MJ. I grabbed him a lot of places last week for cheap while I could. He had his first home run of the year on Tuesday. The dude can rake, and they're playing him everywhere. They're playing him in the outfield, first base, DH, catcher. They want his bat out there. So that's my 2 cents. Maybe I'm wrong, though, Toby. Is MJ Melendez the ad with Sal Perez on?
Yeah, totally. I mean, if he's still available, his plate skills have been tremendous. I mean, yes. Really,
you want to talk really unlucky good. Right now. Like, the dude's going to start crushing baseballs.
Yeah, he's got 18.5% O swing and a 96.4% Z contact. And he's still managing to hit the ball, like, I guess, relatively hard. He's only a skosh above Kevin Biggio territory on the max EV. He's only got the one barrel. He probably has a second barrel today with that home run. I think he's looking really good. I think the quality of contact is the question that I still have, but we'll see what ends up happening there.
Yeah, just what we saw from him last year in the minors and a little bit this year in the minors. Like, I just love the overall pedigree of that guy. And the fact that they're trying to play him everywhere, even before Salvi's injury, I'm like, giddy up. Let's go. Let's have some fun here. Our other listener question from our buddy Ben Tidd, as you mentioned earlier, who are your guys' favorite closer specs at the moment? Well, I mentioned Bautista, Jimenez for Oakland. Those are the guys I've been kind of looking at. You went a little deeper. I'll throw out Simber with Romano's injury. Simber is going to be he got another save on Tuesday. He's a guy to look at. But who are you looking at?
Yeah, I mean, Hansel, unfortunately, again. You mentioned Bautista. I'm just looking through the different teams. Brooks Raley, I mean, Kittredge has struggled a little bit recently. I think in 3 of the last 4 or 3 of the last 5, he's given up a run or multiple runs. But I think he'll have a long leash there. And he doesn't get all the chances as is. But Raley already has, I think, 3 saves this year. So that's not nothing. There's what's his name? The guy who got a save last week for Detroit, who's been really good. Not Fulmer,
Vest,
but the other guy.
Vest or something?
Vest. Yeah, actually, Vest, I think.
Yeah, I actually talked about him.
Vest is looking good. In Minnesota, Duffy got it yesterday, even though Duran should have been available. So it'll be interesting to see how the save situations go there moving forward. I wouldn't go after Duffy necessarily, but he did get a save. I think Rafael Montero is still a guy to keep an eye on with Presley, just because the latest report I heard was that the velo was back down again. So there are some, maybe like there's a little bit of smoke there around potential continued injury at the moment. Let's see. In Miami, maybe Dylan Floro, although Cole Sulzer was in there again. Alex Diaz got the save today for the Reds against Cleveland, although it was in the 10th.
These are such bad situations, though. It's just like, you're going to bang your head.
I know. It's gnarly. It's ugly out there. I said Mantiply. I think those are the only ones. It's rough out there. Just remember next year to just draft closers in the first and second round and be done with it, people.
Yeah, like just go draft Taylor Rogers and Jordan Romano before he gets hurt, and you're good. It's simple. Simple game. Easy game. Get Josh Hader if you want. Like, easy game. I don't see what the problem is.
Easy peasy.
But, and you know what's funny is you could ask this question every week. We'll probably have different answers for you every week because there are going to be some random guys that get saved or some stupid injury. And now Clay Holmes will be worth it. So it'll be fun, stuff like that. So you have to kind of pencil it all together. But, Toby, this is a record for our show, by the way, a record time. Do you have any final thoughts or do we want to wrap this one up early? Because honestly, I'm not trying to be rude, people, but the listeners let us down this week.
Oh, man. Don't throw it back at the listeners, Bubba.
Well, that's usually listener question time. Like the last 20, 30 minutes, and we just going to throw it out there.
You know, I don't want to jinx anything, but I'm just looking forward to Garrett Cole tomorrow at Baltimore.
I recorded MLB DFS. I recorded Quick Hits before this, and I saw Garrett Cole's matchup, and I got so giddy. I'm like, this is going to end poorly, isn't it?
It's going to end so poorly. Yeah, it probably will, but guess who he has next week?
Who?
Baltimore at home.
I got him again. Back-to-back Baltimore stars.
And at the Rays, and he always struggles against the Rays, so he'll obviously give it back there, but I'm excited about that. I'm hoping I can use my again tomorrow.
Yeah, there's a ton of aces going on Wednesday. It's gonna be fun.
Should be a good deal. Dylan Cease continues to just be great.
Well, that's why we get Gossman on Wednesday to see Gossman, Burns, Freed, Cole, Scherzer, Giolito's back. We got all kinds of them. It's gonna be glorious. Glorious day on the mound. But we'll wrap it up there.
I'm excited about it.
We'll wrap it up there. Okay. Make sure you guys check out Toby on the Twitter. They're at BatFlipCrazy. I'm at BDNTrick. We'll be back with you guys next week with another week eight fab recap and much, much more on another episode of Bubba and the Batflip. But for now, catch y'all later.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.